Welcome again. This is John Golden, who's going to be talking to us about analogous art in the courts and at the PTO. John is the Edward S. K. Chair in Law, Entrepreneurialism, and Innovation at UT Austin School of Law, where he has taught administrative law, contracts, patent law, and seminars relating to innovation and IP, as well as a seminar on disaster and emergency law. And in the interest of time, John, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you.
All right, so as indicated, I'm going to talk about analogous art doctrine, which is something of an eddy of non-obviousness law in the United States. I think it's an appropriate topic for a second afternoon of an advanced patent law conference like this one, something that it's not a dominant issue in most cases, but still does arise, I think, reasonably regularly. And therefore having a better understanding of it and some of the ways you can prepare for its operation, both in prosecution and litigation, can give the sort of marginal edge that I would guess someone who's coming to a conference like this might be looking for, in addition to just necessary CLE credits. The talk will also point out what might be a sort of fundamental problem with respect to the nature of the current formulation of analogous arts doctrine in the wake of KSR versus Teleflex, which emphasized an objective approach to the non-obviousness analysis. At least to my eye, the current formulation and frequent manner of application of the analogous arts doctrine is arguably in conflict with this, so there may be an opportunity just to challenge the basics of how the doctrine operates at some point in time. Okay, so I'm going to give an introduction to analogous arts doctrine and some hypotheses I've long had about analogous arts doctrine that in my current research I seem to be showing substantial evidence for. I'm going to provide some of the data that I've developed on analogous art doctrine's prominence, basically focusing on the appearance of references to analogous arts doctrine in PTAB opinions, or before that, the Board of Patent Appeals and Interferences opinions. With the courts, it's a little more at least to my eyes, it's been a little more difficult to get very confident handle on what's going on. There are, as I'll discuss in relation to the board opinions, questions about what sort of the base or denominator should be for understanding what's happening. I think in the district courts, given what I perceive as greater selectivity, or you might say haphazardness, in terms of what ends up in district court opinions, it's a little more difficult to develop, at least has been a little more difficult for me to develop a confident sense of the progression over time. Then I will talk about the details of the doctrine and note the tension with KSR and also what aspects of the doctrine might tell you about how you could approach prosecution or litigation in particular cases. Okay, so Advanced Patent Law Institute, so if we presume we all know, there's a non-obviousness requirement in patent law under Section 103. I have the language from the AIA version of Section 103 here, making clear that the claimed invention, in order to be patentable, must not have been, quote, obvious before the effective filing date to a person having ordinary skill in the art to which the claimed invention pertains. Okay. The standard is often seen as a key gatekeeper for ensuring the substantiality of an invention, and the Federal Circuit has emphasized analogous arts as a potential restriction or a restriction on the art that can be considered in the non-obviousness analysis. This is a restriction that does not apply for purposes of anticipation analysis under Section 102, where once you've determined it's prior art under Section 102, counts. You don't have to get into an argument about whether it's analogous art.